Hello, welcome to From the Rooker End, brought to you by The Athletic. My name is John, with me is Jason.
Hello there.
And DCW.
Hello.
And we are outside the East Stand, just near to the Munich clock. And we've left Old Trafford, where Watford have lost 3-0 away at Manchester United. I mean, we wanted a draw, DCW. It would have been brilliant, and a win would have been fantastic, but surely you didn't expect more.
Well, for about 30 seconds I thought we might get a draw until our VAR worked its magic, and we haven't seen any replays because Old Trafford's one of the only two grounds in the Premier League that doesn't have a big screen, so we have to take people's word for it back home that it was handball. But it would have been lovely to get a point. We're in an absolutely desperate situation right now after the match, in the heat at the moment. It just feels like another, I mean, you don't expect necessarily to come to Old Trafford and get anything. Obviously, they're not what they once were, but they're still Manchester United with a lot of good players. There's 70,000 people watching, so anything would have been a bonus. But as we've spoke about week after week on this podcast, you know, there are no free hits left. There are no, the margin for error gets vanishingly smaller and smaller with each game, and it was a really frustrating afternoon. Just once again, it's the same problems. I'm bored thinking about it and talking about it. We can't do anything in the final third. I think Mike summed it up well on our WhatsApp group, and he's
can we not use the exact language that Michael has used on our WhatsApp group?
Yeah, but he said it's a lamentable performance in the final third, and he's absolutely correct. It's exactly what it was.
I'd like to see our successful passes ratio in that final third, particularly Gerard Deulofeu, because it just felt like every time we had the ball in those areas, we panicked. We just didn't know what to do with it, and it was, I don't know if it was just because Manchester United defended so well, probably not, because as DCW said, we're bored of saying this. We were just playing passes into men that had two or three men around them, and it seemed to be we didn't know what to do with the ball. And even then, perhaps there were better options on, and we didn't want to take them for whatever reason, I don't know. But it was just almost every pass ended up at a red shirt in that final third.
So there's nothing new, as DCW said there, but is there anything more new that we could do? We talked about all these different options, and we saw changes towards the end, Jason, where we saw Welbeck come on, Zaha came on, but wasn't really. It's almost like, actually, right down this the side of the picture, where literally the minute he came on, Luke Shaw gave his first opportunity just to manhandle him and shove him off the pitch. It's almost like that was it. He was, not that he was gone from the game, but he just didn't shine.
He came on too late for me, I think. I mean, we jokingly maybe talked about Pereira's mistake just before half time and said that could be it, that could be Pearson decision made, and he said, right, let's get Sarr on now. It didn't turn out to be that way, and probably fair enough, you know, 1-0. No, there was no reason to change it probably at that stage. But when it went to 2-0, right, you've got to do something. Half an hour left, next goal is important. If we get the next goal, we've shown that we can score, because we did get one back, but then obviously chalked off. So we know we can do it. We can score a goal here at Old Trafford. Get Sarr on now, give us something different, give them something to think about. But we didn't, we waited. He came on, what, with about 20 minutes to go, and within about 5 minutes it's 3-0, game over. And he's had 5 minutes to try and do something, and not enough time. For me, he should have come on when it went to 2-0. We'd have given him about half an hour to try and change the game.
The three goals, DCW, one was a penalty, that was a penalty, but you wouldn't have blamed, yeah, you don't blame Ben, I don't blame him anyway, for having to go out for that. The second goal came from Ben again, coming out for a ball, an attack, and just not going back and leaving a wide open goal. And the third one came from Gerry Deulofeu trying to be a bit too clever, and then breaking and going from one end of the pitch to the other. The rest of the performance, though, lacked that third, but this isn't... I know that Mike on the WhatsApp group just says, just relegate us, and that's Mike, and I think he's missing his therapy session that we're doing right now. But the rest of the performance, it still isn't a team that's head is through the floor and wishing for the end to be put down.
I'm pretty concerned by that performance, actually, because I don't think Manchester United, they've strolled really to a 3-0 victory there today. They weren't outstanding,
but they weren't there for the taking. You know, sometimes you see a team and you think, oh, they're for the taking.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, relatively speaking, this Manchester United side, compared to previous years, sort of are there for the taking at Old Trafford. They're a team that struggle sometimes against teams like us because they want to play on the counter. I mean, you saw a couple of their goals came from counter-attacks, and they can hurt you like that. They don't want the ball. They're not very good in possession, again, compared to some of the best teams in the league these days. But I'm just really frustrated. Maybe it's just because we've just come out of the game, and with a bit of distance, I might feel different. But that performance lacked conviction, courage and confidence.
Which of those is worse, that we didn't have conviction, courage or confidence?
Well, I think all three, really.
Which is worse?
No, they all feed into, they're all part of the same thing. They all feed into each other. And you could see the confidence, which wasn't great at the start, being drained away as we went through the match. And at the end, that was a match, you know, you need to be put out of this misery. The referees have blown his whistle at 80 minutes. It was done, it was finished. And we had the ball in so many good positions. You know, Deeney had the ball in the penalty area at his feet in the first 5-10 minutes of the game, and for some reason, I don't know why, was it under his feet or whatever, he didn't shoot. And there are other moments like that. We're in good positions, we don't shoot, we're not sure what to do. Do I pass it out wide, do I shoot, do I take another touch, do I come inside, do I go outside? There's moments where we're on the edge of the box and the next pass goes back to the halfway line because I don't know what to do. And then the third goal was a perfect example of that. We had the ball on the left hand side or their right hand side, and we didn't cross it, we tried to pass it, we didn't know what to do, and before you know it, within 10 seconds it's in our goal. And that was symptomatic of our performance today. We all that confidence we had, we managed to generate and find and grow and nurture over Christmas, seems to have evaporated by these blows that we've had, these last minute defeats and wins, potential wins have turned into draws, and now it seems we're on the floor again. And just where are the goals coming from? Troy Deeney, you know, we love Troy, but we have to accept that there are a lot of things that man can no longer do. He is not really good enough for us anymore. Really, he'll get you penalties, you know, a few penalties a season. He'll take some chances. But I think even by his own admission, he can't do it all on his own. Welbeck is, you know, I feel sorry for him. He hasn't had any game time. He's been injured. But, you know, it just feels all desperate, doesn't it?
I don't think I'm there with desperate yet. I don't think, it just really seems, you know, the team that was winning all those games, that team isn't there. And I know that's because it's only, in many ways, two players. It's Kiko and it's Czar. I know one of them did come on the pitch today, but that's this league. It's the fine lines of any game of football, the fine lines between a couple of players making you a better team and more sturdy and more confident, but then it's the difference between a better player making a moment. And we know we didn't make any of those moments, and any moments we sort of did make really weren't taken.
Well, what has gone our way the last couple of weekends are the other results. And we've been talking about it a lot in the lead up to this game, but that's not going to last. That if we don't start winning games. So for me, I'm not giving up hope yet. I'm taking it one game at a time, Brian. and I'll continue to do so until it's mathematically impossible. So still belief for me, but yeah, we need to turn it around quickly. And we talk about the difference between the two teams today, and we talk about Manchester United counter-attacking, the fact that we are lacking confidence. That for me was the difference, I think, in the way that they attacked, was that when they counter-attacked, they did it with confidence, they trusted themselves, they looked to go forward all the time with their counter-attack, whereas we, ultimately, when we try to counter-attack, the ball would end up at a player, whoever it was, Pereira, Deulofeu, who didn't want to go forward, who didn't have the confidence to beat the defender, to get behind the Man United defence, they'd stop and wait and look for a teammate, and that's when Man United were able to get back, and all of a sudden we're having to make passes into areas that were congested and there were lots of red shirts and not many yellow ones.
You said DCW your annoyance, and you did get quite annoyed at several occasions. I don't know if you ever watched yourself watching football, but you were quite aggressive at one point to do with getting the ball to feet. And the fact is that Pereira and Gerry just want to get the ball to their feet, and there were countless opportunities where the ball just needs to be threaded through. In fact, in several cases it was threaded through into space and they just weren't running. We didn't feel that though before. Is that just I know we've talked about this before, is this just a Pereira problem?
I think, yeah, look, it's fine if you want the ball to feet, you know, you've got to deliver when you get it. And I just think this team, in the way it plays at the moment, the matches where we've played well and got points in the last few months have been when the wide players have worked well. When Deulofeu is on his game, he's interesting. Right? He's a player that a lot of my friends who are not Watford fans and don't watch the matches, they go, oh God, he's really good, isn't he? Oh, I bet he's going to get a big move in the summer. What a great player he is. He's the sort of player that when you see him have his moments on the highlights and stuff, and you look at how many points he gets on Fantasy Premier League, you think he's brilliant. But when you watch him week in, week out, you know the frustrations that we have with him. And Pereira, you know, he's not a player that anyone says to me that is any good. And, you know, again, he occasionally has a moment, but that seems to have gone now. Like, when we were playing really well, we had Saar out wide. You know, Deulofeu was kind of doing his thing on the other side, but we had that option of Saar getting down the right-hand side, in behind people. He would run, he would get the ball, he would knock it, or he'd get the ball played in, he would run onto it. And we just don't do that. It's so frustrating when you see that time and time again. Because our midfield players, they're good passers of the ball. They'll get on the ball. They're tenacious. They'll win it, and they'll look, and there'll be an option for someone to run in behind. And what is it? It's Pereira or Deulofeu standing with their hands on their hips by the touchline saying, give it to my feet. And then what do? They get to their feet, they come inside, invariably they lose it. And that's what the big problem is for us at the moment.
Jerry seemed to be, for me, that bad Jerry that we saw before Nigel turned up take control. That one who really felt like, it feels like he feels like, he wants to win, has to win the game. He's the one who has to do the magic. He's the one who has to run with the ball and cut in and do some magic. And he did hit the bar in the top corner and could have done a little bit of Deulofeu magic. It wouldn't have been enough, but it felt like he was trying to do that a lot more today than he ever has done in the last two and a half months.
A podcast made by Watford fans for Watford fans from the Rookery end.
Mike's surname is Parkin, his son called Arlo, and this is our feature, Michael Parkinson.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome once again to Michael Parkinson. It's Arlo. Arlo, how are you doing?
Good.
Good, yeah, I had to think about that. It's been a disappointing afternoon, hasn't it? We've seen Watford lose 3-0 at Man United, but they have lost to Manchester United. Arlo, my question to you, who do you think from the Watford team could get into the Man United side?
I'm going to say Doucouré.
Why do you think that is? Because he's the best Watford player, or just he'd be better
best
suited to Man
United?
He's the best player.
Yeah, and I think we'd get a lot of money for it.
Oh, very sensible. Gino will enjoy that as well. And just how are you feeling in general about Watford at the moment after this afternoon's result?
Not that disappointed, because obviously I'm used to it now.
Oh, we're all used to it, aren't we? But we'll get on with it. On to the next one.
Yeah, I think we'll win next time.
Even though we're playing Liverpool?
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking to you about a few weeks ago. I think the team to beat Liverpool will be Watford, because I think Alisson will make a mistake and Watford will score another one, and then we'll capitalise.
Arlo, love that positivity. Thank you very much for joining us.
Bye.
On Tuesday evening, our Colin went down to the Watford Museum for a special event put on by the Proud Hornets. We've spoken to them before about what they do as a Watford fan group, and he went to find out 2 years on where they are and what's happening, and also some very, very spectacular and special news they had to share. He also spoke to Dave Messenger, the supporter liaison officer for the club, about how the club are supporting groups like the Proud Hornets.
So, Peter, just tell me a little bit about Proud Hornets.
We formed about 3 years ago, and most people will remember our involvement with the TIFO display of the rainbow colours, which was a really, really proud moment. In terms of our aims and objectives, it's really to ensure that we encourage people of all sexuality, straight, gay, LGBT people, to feel that they're comfortable in attending football. When we meet down at the Escort Tavern prior to the home matches, unless it's changed for, unfortunately, TV games, which is always a pain in the what's it.
And how many members have you got at the moment?
Well, there's over 100, about 110 members, but over 1,000 followers on through the various social media outlets.
That's amazing. That's fantastic to see something like that grow so quickly.
Yeah, yes.
In your experience over the past year and a half, 2 years, do you find, have your members found or experienced homophobia in football grounds?
Not directly at Watford, thankfully. However, we do get it through the usual social media channels. but we know that the club will take action, and we have had evidence that the club has taken action against certain individuals. So the club do practice what they preach in that regard. Mm. Touch wood, we haven't seen it when we've gone to away matches directly with ourselves, but we know it's there. Mm. And people say, well, why do you need your group when it's not such an issue, say, around Watford? Well, we do need our group because we need to raise the profile that homophobic chanting or homophobic abuse is not acceptable in this day and age. First of all, we're football fans.
Yeah.
You know, what goes in our private life, that's up to ourselves. Mm. Yeah, you know, we're here to enjoy football.
No, I can remember, very sadly, of course, back in the 70s when I first started supporting Watford, and we had Elton John as the chairman and owner, there wasn't a great deal of homophobic chanting and abuse which was directed at him, which was obviously at the time must have affected people from that community and thought, maybe football's not really the place for me, it's not a safe place for me to go, I could be subjected to that kind of prejudice. But do you feel that things have moved on a lot? Do you feel that people are more tolerant, widely more tolerant?
Yeah, they're more tolerant, but I think there are some instances probably which doesn't help with the political climate over the last 2 years, where people have sort of got more confident in themselves to be more, how can I put it, offensive and abrasive towards other people,
yeah.
Almost like a them against us attitude. And because it's out of their comfort zone, people don't know how to take it, if that makes sense, because they think, oh, that's not norm to them.
Yeah.
Well, what's norm to you then?
So as Proud Hornets, have you had contact with other groups from other clubs? Do you sort of, you know, meet up at away games and you know, and have a pint and chat?
Yeah, I mean, recently, unfortunately, the game didn't go our way against Tranmere Rovers at home. They came actually down and met us, and we had a couple of pints with them, and that's really good to meet up with other groups. And also, we're quite privileged in terms of being able to attend other events outside of football that are football related. Recently, FA's LGBT History Month, which we were invited to, and that was the opportunity to meet other groups around the country as well.
It's very good to hear that the club sort of immediately got behind the group once it was sort of announced.
Yeah.
Have you felt that support throughout?
Yes, we have. They're very supportive. They leave us to our own devices in terms of what we want to do. If there are things that we need, we'll approach them, and then obviously within reason come to some agreement in terms of what we like to do. So it's like with any other groups, and we want to ensure that we're not just isolated. In terms of, right, there's the LGBT group, they just get on with themselves. You know, we want to make sure that we're inclusive with everybody, and it goes back to the We campaign of the club, to make sure that we're here for everybody, not just one section of society.
Mm. So now, this evening, at the Watford Museum, you're going to make an announcement.
The announcement is that we're very pleased and privileged that Troy Deeney and Helen Ward, for the Watford ladies, are going to be our patrons for our groups, which we believe is the first for a current Premier League player, and for, obviously, in respect of the ladies, first team player, to be a patron of a top tier football club. So we're very privileged.
That's fantastic.
For that to be announced. So thank you very much, Troy, if you're listening to this, and Helen as well. We're very thankful that, you know, you've taken the time to support us in our objectives.
That's fantastic news. It's brilliant to have a club captain like Troy, isn't it?
Who
seems to be everywhere all the time, getting involved in all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
And to have someone like that representing the club and becoming your patron, along with the ladies player Helen Ward, I think that's just a fantastic sort of step forward. And also, it does really show the clubs and the playing squads their commitment to what you're doing.
Yeah, it does. And it's real feels, you know, we're all one family. The old Graham Taylor ethos, saying we all belong together.
Mm.
And, you know, as we sort of hopefully don't get relegated, we all need to pull together. And there's like these last 10 or so games that, you know, with that enthusiasm that we all have, because we love Watford, that we can all pull together and get ourselves out of this mire.
That's brilliant, thank you. Just one last thing. If one of our listeners is listening to this and wants to get in contact with the Proud Hornets, how do they go about that?
If they email, which is info@proudhornets, which is all one word, .com, and one of us will get in contact.
So I'm now here with Dave Messenger, who's a very well-known figure to Watford supporters on match day. He is the supporters' liaison officer. So, Dave, just tell us a little bit about the Proud Hornets and when you first became aware of them and how the club is seeking to support the group.
The Proud Hornets is the most fantastic thing, really, about how it all started was the fact that I got two separate emails about a week away from each other from Peter Wilton and from Callum Jewell, both saying about how it wasn't right that Watford didn't have an LGBT supporters group, and given the proud history that the club had with Elton John being chairman in the 80s especially, they felt it was a little bit of a miss that Watford didn't have an LGBT supports group. So our challenge straight to get those two guys was, we'll start one. If you're interested and if you've got the drive and the enthusiasm, we'll support you all the way. We'll do what we can to help out. And if you're happy to drive it, we're happy to support it. And let's crack on and let's get it done. And it's to their immense credit that everything that they've achieved has been as a result of their hard work with the other people that are involved with the group, Stuart Nielsen, Peter Quinn, and Stuart's wife Kelly. The work that group has put in together to make the Proud Hornets what it is phenomenal.
It seems to be quite an early one, because Peter was saying that they're now starting to link up with other clubs that have similar groups, and that's just a fantastic thing for football, isn't it? Because there was a time in the dark past where people from that community probably didn't feel all that comfortable coming to football, but now, you know, everyone's making such a lot of effort to open football up to everybody. This is a great thing for the club, and the club is sort of fully behind it and supportive.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'd agree completely with what you've just said. It is very much of the moment that LGBT sports groups are coming together. But what we particularly like about the Proud Hornets is their message. Yes, they're from the LGBT community, but their message is very much inclusion. Their message is very much, this is a group for everybody that shares their beliefs and shares their aims. So it's not just a group for people, supporters that are from the LGBT community. For them, they see it as being a very much a communal effort, a group effort, and it's borne out in the work they did with the 1881 movement to create a fantastic mosaic last season for the Rainbow Laces match against Manchester City. And the links that they forged with the other groups across the country, you know, they were won an award themselves at the end of last year from the Fans for Diversity campaign, and it's just been brilliant. And for us as a club, it's fantastic to see our supporters leading the way and trailblazing, which is what Watford's always done.
So nothing epitomises the club support more than getting the club captain to become the patron of this group, along with Helen Ward, who plays for the women's team. And that's a fantastic thing for him to firstly be made aware of the possibility, but actually to agree and get involved.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and it speaks volumes for both Troy and Helen as well, and their commitment, and the fact that they both appeared in the video that we did before Christmas speaking to Callum about all manner of issues around discrimination. And from that conversation, the idea of them becoming patrons was born, and both of them were absolutely thrilled when we asked them, and you know, it's when Proud Hornets asked them, to be precise. But yeah, for us, it's another very clear message from us as a club that we support this quality and diversity work that we're doing, that the Proud Hornets are doing, that everybody's doing. And to have Troy and Helen on board for the Proud Hornets is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, at a time when football seems becoming so corporate, and they're talking about millions and billions of pounds from, you know, clubs trying to break away, or all those things, and agents and all the things that we hear every day that surrounds football, to actually remember that really what football is about fans in the ground supporting their team and having that connection with the players.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's massive for us as a club. You know, we've seen so many changes at Watford over the last 5 years, certainly since I worked at the club, as much as my years going back supporting the club. We've seen such massive changes, and you know, in the modern football world, certain things will change and certain things won't always be appealing to our fans, but we strive and we work really, really hard to try and keep that ethos alive and to try and keep the spirit of what Graham Taylor and Elton John achieved alive. You know, the owners of the club, the chief executive, the senior management team, everybody within the club is fully committed to the cause of equality and diversity and fully committed to the cause of trying to make sure that our supporters stay on board with us, because you know, it's not the easiest time at the moment, and we need everybody pulling in the same direction. So you know, that sort of work and that sort of commitment from everybody here at the club's vital.
Galo, always believe in your soul. You got the power to know. You're indestructible. Always believe in Galo.
You're listening to From the Rookery End.
DW, what was your favourite moment of the whole afternoon? We got the cheer. We got a goal.
Yeah.
It was disallowed, but we got a good old cheer and a good old release of energy and tension for a good couple of minutes.
Yeah. I went absolutely bonkers when we scored that goal. Honestly, one of the most voracious celebrations I've put in for a long time, I think. But then
you were right on the aisle,
yeah.
So you had that room.
Had
you
that
could
room,
really express
really
yourself.
Stretch. I had both fists yeah. were out, you know. But then obviously cruelly taken away from us. But I actually think it was when Igalo turned around at the end and applauded us, which just about sums it up, I think, really.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't quite sure if the Man United fans were being ironic when they were saying if Igalo scores were on the pitch. And I thought, were you being a bit disrespectful? But it was lovely. We had a bit of a chant from the Watford fans, and he turned in and gave a wave. My most annoying bit of the afternoon is the new Messina chant.
It's not quite right, is it?
It's not right in the slightest. I don't know if anybody in the Watford have ever heard how to sing Tequila. Another good bit. This is the important bit. Messina. And you missed out the whole second bit. One bit.
That's how you should do it.
I mean, Tranmere really showed how to do that in the FA Cup game. But unfortunately, it fell a bit flat. Jason, what are you taking away from this? Is there anything positive or negative? Or maybe no, later. If there's anything particular you think Nigel needs to do with this team, let's say in two parts. Firstly, next week against Liverpool. And then the run of games we've then got against the teams around. So, Jason, what is there anything different he can do next week against Liverpool? I mean, we haven't talked about Dawson being right back.
He put in a decent enough shift. I thought it looked like they were going to target him early on, first moment from the kickoff, ball sort of gone down the left hand side, and he looked a bit hesitant, looked a bit unsure. But I think after that they tried a couple of sweeping balls and he dealt with them very effectively, you know, showing that we know he's strong in the air, dealt with those okay. Never easy, I don't think, for a centre back maybe sort of to try and play right back. He's and attack wise, it showed. I think his first cross sailed out for a throw on. Not even sure it touched the ground before it went out the other side.
Lloyd Dawley-esque, I think
it was.
Anyway.
And there was another moment, and we talked about the counter attack. There was a point where he should have been running beyond. I think Pereira was playing on the right at that point. Should have run beyond, didn't, stopped, got a nosebleed. Sort of track back, and you just say, "That's yeah, you're not a right back, you're a centre back." But you know, fair enough. Defensively, we looked okay, you know, considering who we're playing, where we are. I thought Cavicelli had a decent enough game. Shame he fell over for the third one, but I mean, we'd already seen De La Feo run into another blind alley, and Capu sort of sell himself by that stage anyway, so you can't apportion any blame to him. It's okay defensively. It's got to be all the things that we've talked about, really. If you want to take something away from today, for me, I'd say draw a line under it, forget it. You know, it's a
even for next week
result. Just well, yeah, the stuff that we've talked about already. Attack wise, look at be positive. Don't be so negative. Don't slow the game down. Let's showing too much respect to the big size. Man United aren't as big a side as they used to be. They ain't that
it's
great.
It's a big stadium, Jason.
But it is a big stadium. Yeah, very nice stadium. But yeah, it's part of the problem because we're scared of the big teams. Showing them too much respect, it shouldn't be that way.
Okay.
We can beat them.
I think there are. You know, I'm going to try and be a bit positive now.
Go on, Dave.
My earlier negativity. I think there were a few positives today in terms of we saw Sarr. He's back. He's on the pitch. He's got some minutes. Let's get some more under his belt. Maybe get another. You know, maybe start against Liverpool or come on against Liverpool and then really hit the ground in that. You know, that next run of important potentially winnable games, because next week really isn't a winnable game. It's if we get anything from that, brilliant. They're so good. Even though they will probably make changes, their reserves are still good enough to beat us easily. Cleverly came back again. He could be a really important player in a run-in. And you know, more minutes for Welbeck. I don't think he touched the ball two or three times. I think that was about it. But well, next week, why don't give him a start?
Yeah.
Just give him a start. Give him 90 minutes and say, go out there and do something. You know, I think so. We're seeing players coming back. Hopefully, Kiko's another week further forward. Didn't make it this week, but you know, we as valiant as an effort as Mariappa and Dawson and the various people that played fullbacks in his absence have done, it's time for a proper right back. You know, he is a really useful player for us when he's fit and on form. So hopefully that's the thing. Like, I think Jesh is right, move on. It's Manchester United, we didn't get anything. Okay, there were frustrations, a few good performances. I thought Will Hughes had a good game actually. I think he's done well since he's come back into the team. So look, we can't give up hope. There are winnable home games. but time's running out.
tick tock goes the clock. Thank you very much for listening from the Rooker End. We'll be back with another preview podcast on Thursday evening, ready especially for your Friday commute to work, and that will be myself and Adam Leventhal to preview the Liverpool game. Thank you much, Jason.
Thank you.
And thank you, DCW.
Machina.